Well, good morning. What a joy it is to be back with you folks once again. I trust that you had a good week and that God was present with you. I want to thank the music team. Wasn't that just wonderful music we had this morning? It just made us so sensitive to God is here and he's among us and he's active and he wants to do work. In fact, he's already moving through the pews and he's looking into our hearts and he sees all of our needs and he is more than ready to carry our care and bear our burdens. How blessed we are as the people of God. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to two particular passages. The first one is located in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, and then if you're able to move your finger to another passage in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. So first we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 2 and going through verse 7. This is God's word. And if you're comfortable and able to, would you stand with me in honor and recognition that this is not a work of man, but this is God's holy word. Hear it. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Thou shalt multiply the nation. Thou shalt increase their gladness. They will be glad in thy presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou shalt break the yoke of their burden, and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, and at last of Midian. For every boot to the booted warrior in the battle tumult, and cloak rolled in blood will be burning, for burning fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And now, 1 John chapter 3. Verse 5. And you know that he, that's Christ, appeared in order to take away sins. This is the word of God, my brothers and sisters, and we believe it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have the wonderful privilege to be in your house. And we ask, O Father, by your Spirit that you would minister to us, you would enrich us, you would teach us, you would instruct us. For Lord, we have come hungry and thirsty for you. We hear all the words and advice and consult of mankind and humankind. But Lord, we come this morning, we want to hear from you. Instruct our hearts. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. You may be seated. It was February 10, the year 2010. And Linda and I had just finished leading a pastors and wives retreat in Newport News, Virginia, when our Mechanicsburg daughter called us and alerted us to the fact that there was a huge storm brewing and coming up the coast. And if we were wise people, we would hop in the car and head to our home in Frederick, Maryland, ASAP. My wife was pretty concerned about that. I said, honey, look, it's 55 degrees. It's balmy out. The sky does not look like snow. We can take our time. So we leisurely loaded our car and then began to make our way north. By the time we got to Richmond, it was a bit chillier and there was sleet coming down. By the time we got to Fredericksburg, Virginia, there was in fact snow. We took a route, Route 17, over to where it connects to US 15, and by then it was actually snowing pretty steadily. As we continued to make our way north, it was snowing heavier, and it caused us to need to slow down a bit more. When we got to Leesburg, Virginia, it was really putting it down, and the wind was blowing. And my wife said to me, as we pulled into Sheets to get some gas, I think we need to stop at the Hampton Inn down the road here and get a room. Oh, no, we can make it. This should not be an issue. Why, we're only 30, 45 minutes from home. Why would we waste the money doing that? I said, I'll turn on the radio and see what we learn from the anchor station we often listen to in D.C. So I turned it on, and the news weather station came on, and the announcer said, I have good news for those of you who live west of Baltimore. The storm is dissipated. It has moved into Baltimore and then moving out of Baltimore, and those of you who are west of Baltimore, the sky is breaking up and all is well, and it will be shortly. And I said, honey, did you hear that? Let's make our way. So we continued up the two-lane highway, but the snow was not abating, and it was getting heavier, and the wind was blowing, even rocking the car. There were whiteouts around us. There were drifts coming into the road. Now, Linda and I have lived in Minnesota and Colorado and even went through a blizzard in Wyoming, but to be honest, I had never seen anything quite like this before. We were merely inching along. And my wife said, I thought things were supposed to get better. As we continued on, I said, well, I think once we hit the Maryland line, we cross the Potomac, it will be much better. You remember what the weatherman said. But when we got to that part of the trip, it was not any better. The wind continued to howl. The car was rocking. Whiteouts were occurring. I thought, and then I said, but Route 340 is ahead. It's a divided highway. They take care of that. When we get there, we will be fine. And so we proceeded. We finally got to Route 340. We got onto 340. It was no better at all. We had gone maybe a quarter of a mile when, whoosh, we hit a 3-foot drift right in the middle of the road. I did everything to get free, but could not get free. Now what do we do, my wife said. Well, I said, I have a cell phone. We will call whoever we can to help. So I called AAA. I called the state police. I called the highway department. I called 911. They all said the same thing. What in the world are you doing out? Have you not listened to the radio? We're under a severe storm. Nobody, not even our trucks, are permitted out. You're going to have to stay where you are. Probably it will be tomorrow till anybody comes to help you. So conserve your fuel. Make sure that the snow doesn't back up into your exhaust pipes. And don't get out and try to make your way away from the car. Stay there. So, Linda and I prayed. We asked that God would protect us and somehow get us through this difficulty. I thought we were going to be the central characters in a drama of real life from Reader's Digest. And we prayed that no one would hit us from behind. No sooner had we prayed Then a white-gloved hand knocked on my window. I was stunned, and I looked, and I put the window down, and a gentleman said, "I'm here to help you." He was all dressed in white, like a huge snowsuit. And then I looked ahead, and there appeared in front of me, about 15 feet, a very large white truck, pickup truck. Where it came from, I did not know, but it was there. And this gentleman went around, got a shovel, and began shoveling. But it was under our car, but it was really packed. So suddenly a second man appeared, dressed the same way, with a shovel, and he began to work. Then I heard a chain grab our vehicle underneath in the front and begin to pull us forward through the drift to the other side. When we got to the other side, I put my window down and I said to this gentleman, "How much do I owe you?" He said, "Nothing at all. I was sent to rescue you. Just continue on, find the nearest hotel, and get there as soon as you can." I don't know, Linda and I don't know if it was an angel or a messenger from God or a good Samaritan or what, but this we know, he came to free us from our blizzard and our woe. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Christ appeared in order to take away our sins." I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when I find myself in blizzard conditions, where I really don't know how to escape, how to get free. It may relate to family issues, physical issues, sin issues in my own life, and I wonder, how can I get free? But the scripture tells us Christ came and appeared in order to set us free from our sin. This morning, I'd like to consider particularly how he sets us free from our sin. First of all, he sets us free from the fruit of our sin. The fruit of our sin. Not too many months ago, in a service that was an infant baptismal service, the officiating minister said, as he looked up and down the line at all the infants, "Now, my friends, these children, these infants, they are saints. We've given them over to God. They are saints." Somebody about three or four rows back whispered, "Are you sure about that?" See what happens when they're age 3 and 4 if you make that same declaration. Well, the truth is that our first parents were bitten by sin, and it so infected them that it traveled down through all the generations, so that all of us have been corrupted by sin. Not only is that a theological truth according to Scripture, but it's also a practical truth that you and I have experienced. We have all had that draw. We have all gone over the line. We have all stepped in the wrong direction, and we have all sinned. Sin simply means missing the mark that God has established, and we do that by commission and by omission in our life. And when we do that, when we sin, it brings harm to us. Harm to us that affects us in various ways. It dulls our conscience. The first time we do something wrong, whether it's exaggerate the truth or maybe take something that doesn't belong to us, it haunts us. But as time goes on, the haunting is gone because our conscience is seared, is dulled, and seared. There are times in our life when there is such action in our life in that area that we don't think much about it anymore. Psychologists say that it's like walking through a field for the first time or a forest. We make our way in the path the first time, but when we repeatedly make our way, it becomes a trail, then a road, and then a superhighway in our life. It harms us. It causes us to be warped in our thinking and in our personality. And we begin to feel no guilt, no pain, and sin brings that corruption in our life. It also has the ability then for us to harm others, because we carry that into our life and we say things and do things out of anger, out of regret, out of injury, out of frustration, and do things that offend people. Sometimes we pointedly do it on purpose. Sometimes it happens just because we're become careless in our life and it offends people in that way. And we don't even realize we do. About 20 years ago, someone asked to make an appointment with me. And when he came in, he told me that for 10 years he was carrying pain because of something I had said and I had done to him. I had no idea I had done that. I had no idea that for that period of time he was carrying that hurt and that injury. And when I learned it, I quickly did my best to make things right with him. But it happens in our life when these things occur, then they begin to affect us in that way. Guilt is a problem that frequently accompanies us, so that some of us, maybe even here this morning, feel guilty about something. Something that we did this week, or it could have been 15 years ago, but it comes back. And every time we attempt to meet with Jesus, it comes back to us again. The heavy guilt that comes our way because of it. I worked with Bill when I was in seminary. He and I pulled the night shift cleaning a high-end restaurant. And during break time, since it was the two of us, we would frequently sit and discuss life in general or what was happening. And I discovered that he too had been what was a follower of Jesus. But without him going into detail, he said, "Randy, I committed a sin that I don't care to describe to you. But that sin, I cannot get away from. And therefore, I have pulled back in my walk with God. I don't read my Bible anymore. And if I go to church, I'm the last one in and the first one out. It haunts me. I can't get away from it. I can never be the same again." And I said, "Dear Bill, that is a lie from Satan, from the pit itself. Jesus came, he appeared to take away our sins. Not some, not a few, but all. And if perchance Satan is trying to convince you in your heart that something occurred in the past that has made you a fourth-class citizen, so that from now on you can do your best, but you will never be all that God has for you, rebuke it in Jesus' name, resist the devil, make him flee from you, because Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, appeared to take away all our sin and all our guilt, and he has set us free." Hallelujah. Joy to the world. He has come. During the ministry of the Old Testament Tabernacle, there was a special day of the year. It was called the Day of Atonement. Now, on that day, when all of Israel gathered, two goats were brought forward. One was brought to the altar of sacrifice and sacrificed there. But a second goat was brought to the high priest himself. Before the high priest, the high priest would take his hands and solemnly rest them on this goat. And he would lay on this goat all the sins of Israel that had occurred during this past year. He laid on him the iniquity of them all. And when that was done, another priest would take the goat and lead it out to the wilderness, and then lead it over a cliff, down over a cliff, to be out of sight and to be destroyed. And that same priest would then wave a white flag, saying, "The goat is gone. The sins are gone. We are set free." And that word would carry from one person to the next and to all the convocation, and there was celebration and rejoicing. Our sins are gone. We are free. Now, many of you have experienced that in your life, and you know the great burden it was, the great jubilation that occurred in your heart and life when you heard Jesus say, "Your sins are gone. You are white as snow." And friend or friends, if there are any of you struggling with a particular sin, action, trespass of the past, I want to tell you, Jesus came. Jesus appeared to set us free. And he has come to set you free. You are free indeed when you seek Jesus and invite him into your life for that cleansing and renewing joy to the world. The King has come. Hallelujah. He has arrived. We also discover that he came to set us free, not only from the fruit of sin, but also from the root of sin itself. Now, if any of you have done yard work and you've come across a particular tree or shrub that you no longer want, or a weed certainly you don't want, and you've tried to rid it just by ripping the top off of it, you know that that does not eventuate in success. That before long, if the root is not attacked, then the plant will begin to sprout again. I remember one of my trips I used to make when I was in district work on a particular route all the time, that there was a large farmhouse, and in front they had had some trees at one time, large trees, but they really never dealt with the stumps. And as a result, every spring, although they had cut all the sprouting away, in the spring it came right back up again. You and I discover in our life, right in accordance with Romans chapter 7, that the things that we want to do, even followers of Jesus, the things we want to do, we don't always do, and the things we don't want to do, we do. And we keep being pulled by this gravitational force of the natural man, the sin, that wants us to go back and yield in that way. And some of us struggle and struggle, and some of us say, "I give up. There's a particular area in my life I cannot conquer, and I've tried it on my own. I've tried and tried, and it won't work." So we move to coexisting with the sin. We simply say, "Well, I'll do the best I can, and you know, I inherited this temper from my Irish grandfather, and it's just the way it is." But the good news is, Jesus arrived and appeared in order to set us free from all of our sin. And the way he has elected to do that, according to the book of Romans 6, 7, and 8, is through the dispensing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus first breathed on the disciples the Spirit, and then on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came. And the Spirit has been given to us as believers to indwell us and work within us. Because, frankly, I can't rise above any pools in my life, but I can through Jesus Christ and through his Spirit. He fills me and he empowers me. The founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, Dr. A.B. Simpson, talked a lot about the ministry of the Spirit. He said, it's not that the Spirit comes in and rips out this force within us. It's rather that the Spirit comes in and interrupts this gravitational pull and fills us and imbues us with himself and empowers us so that we can live against this particular sin that rises up against us. We can be victors through Christ alone. The Scripture says that Christ in us, the hope of glory. He has given us himself to live and dwell in us that we might rise above the pool of sin in our life. So depend on him. Don't give up. Jesus came to give us this wonderful truth and this wonderful message. Albert Simpson called it the habitation of the Holy Spirit. He inhabits us, and in this habitation, he empowers us, enables us to live against this pull that is above us. Dr. Harry Ironsides, who for many years was a preacher in Chicago, said it like this: Christ has provided the means whereby he may save us from the power of sin, hallelujah, and take away the habit of sinning through the indwelling and infilling work of the Holy Spirit, so that people who love to sin, love to have their own way, now delight in holiness and find their joy in doing his will. This is the distinguishing mark of the real God follower, and it happens only through the work, the power, the indwelling, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Romans 11, verse 16 says, when the root is holy, the branch is holy. Oh, may we see the hope and the power in that, and not give in and compromise in our life and coexist, but may we insist, as we stand before God, that we embrace the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life to empower us and enable us to live against this dreadful pull of life. But we also discover that we are given, because Christ appeared, we are given freedom from the wounds of sin. So we say, joy to the world. He appeared to give to us freedom from the wounds of sin. There's a lot of pain around us, a lot of pain in the world, a lot of pain even among us. Some people sitting around us know all about, and some sitting next to us know nothing about. Personal pain, family pain, financial pain, work pain. Things that are bothersome to us, things in the present, things in the past, people suffering from abuse, people suffering from some disability, some injury that has come their way, some particular hurt or harm. I want you to know that Jesus came. He appeared in order to take away the agony, the wounds, and the hurts that come our way. He has come in order to help us move through the path of forgiveness. Because some of us struggle in the area of forgiveness because of what something happened to us circumstantially or relationally in the past. And it hurts. It pains. And for some reason, based on my pastoral experience, there are individuals who won't even go to a particular family gathering because somebody is there that has offended them, harmed them in some particular way. And in fact, I've had some tell me Christmas is not a fun time for me because of some things that have happened in my life. I want you to know Jesus appeared in order to move us through from forgiveness to healing. A time in which we take a point of decision in our life and we issue forgiveness to that particular situation, that particular person, that particular event when we let it go. The Greek word means to let it go. Let it go. Some people enjoy being caught up in their bitterness and they just keep nourishing it because they're so angry about it, but it harms us and keeps us, installs us in our relationship. The scripture says forgiveness is letting it go, sending it away. Now, I'll be honest with you, because probably most of us have had a journey in this area. It would be nice to say that you say, Lord, I forgive this person or this situation, and it evaporates. And it may for the moment, but it is a repeated journey. That's been my experience, because there are things that happen and reminders that occur, and Satan wants to stir the fire again. And each time, we must ask Jesus for his help to let it go, and to experience full forgiveness and to experience healing in our life, that he will come to us and heal us. I remember watching my grandmother, who lost her only two daughters in a railroad accident when the railroad guard got confused and he put both rails down and trapped these two young ladies on the railroad tracks, and the train came and killed both of them. It took my grandmother years, but she worked at it, and God was able to help her, and she was able to find victory and healing in that. Jesus offers to give us that. A little over a year ago, I came across a gentleman who told me that 50 years ago, almost to the day, he had been abused in some particular situation. And that man is just as angry, at least he was a year ago now, as he was 50 years before. He never let it go. It affected everything in his life. And we certainly feel bad about those things happening. And I told my brother, I am so sorry. But we must, with God's help, let it go. That's why Jesus came, to enter in, to help us in that particular way. So joy to the world. The Lord is come. And he has come to set you and me free. Set us free from the sin, the root of sin, the fruit of sin, the wounds of sin. Hallelujah. What a Savior we have. What a victor we have in him. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, who is well-known American poet. On December 25, 1864, wrote the poem, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. It was a grim time in Wadsworth Longfellow's life. In July of 1861, his wife Frances was helping their two daughters melt sealed wax when the hot wax dropped on her lightweight skirt and dress, and she immediately went into flames. She did her best. She screamed. She ran to the next room, the study of her husband, Henry. And he grabbed her. He embraced her. He did all he could to get it out. But the next day, she died. And it left him badly scarred in his hands and his face. He could never shave after that. He never fully recovered from such a loss. He was so discouraged. 2 years later, their oldest son, Charles, was severely wounded in a battle in the Civil War that left him crippled. And this added to the burden on Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. But on that Christmas day, he sat down to write some reflection. And this is what he wrote. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. My dear brothers and sisters, I simply announce to you that God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. He is alive, he works. I don't know what your burden, I don't know what your blizzard is this morning. You may feel stuck and surrounded by something you can't get out of, but Jesus wants to appear, knocking on your window. He wants to set you free from the sin, the root of sin, the wounds of sin. He's here to do that this morning. I failed to tell you that when this gloved hand knocked on the door and the voice came to me, he said, I'm here to help you. Do you want my help? It was obvious. Yes, I did. Jesus is asking you the same question. Do you want my help? I'm here to rescue you. That's why I came at Christmas. That's why the first Advent, I appeared in order to help you with your sins. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please, for a Selah moment? Selah simply means pause and think about it. What blizzard faces you? What woe is in your heart? What entrapment surrounds you? I want to tell you, Jesus walks through our sanctuary this morning, knocking on windows, saying, I'm here to help you. Do you need my help? Do you want my help? Let me allow you a bit of time to reflect on that. And I might say that if any of you would like somebody to pray with you about your particular need, we're here to do that. Just simply slip out where you are and make your way to the altar, and someone will meet you there. Let me allow you a bit of time.